Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
First ball on the drive. Ball kicks it back out. Pass deflected and stolen. 3-on-1 for the Bucks. Holiday. Fouled by Booker. They didn't call it. Antetokounmpo backs it home. That would have been a sixth foul. How do you not call that foul?
What do you guys think it counted overall for the 17 turnovers?
It's me. I have five of them. You know what I mean? It's bad decision making. Timely, down two, and I try to cross over right there, slip, turn it over. That's some bad pass.
Middleton finding some space, jump shot it. Middleton ties the game. He's got 32. With Tucker on him. Throws it up for eight. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis.
Bernstein and Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Highlights courtesy ABC. You heard from Chris Paul, CP3, doing his best Michael Jordan Wizards impersonation at the moment. Rick Camp is covering all things basketball. He's on Twitter at Rick C. Camp. He does Bulls postgame on this radio station. Also is the producer of You Better You Bet. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And Rick is on our Twitch stream as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, Campy.
Hello, how are you both?
Well, after having finally trying a special custom version of the I'm Fat Burger, that is really a thing. It is really good. I mean, I knew it would be good. It was better than I thought, I'll be honest.
Yeah, when we started the whole process of like emailing back and forth with Chef Joe from Fredo's Culinary Kitchen in Schaumburg, it was one of those things where a lot of those types of burgers are okay, it's just for the spectacle and for the social media interaction. And when you actually have it, it's like, okay, it's fine, it's not that great, but like, this is legitimately a really good burger. And I'm excited, probably at some point tomorrow, I'm gonna head out there and have the pizza slice, because I'm interested to see how all of that translates to pizza. Spoiler alert, probably not bad.
So how are they going to construct it? Because tell us the components of the burger for those who may not know.
So you have your Texas toast, which is really key to really the logistics of it, as well as the taste. You have the barbecue pulled pork with the mac and cheese that's on the griddle to kind of give it some sort of, so it's not just like sloppy all over the place. There's some sort of like crisp to it. Then you have your half and half, two bacon burger patties, and what, like a three different types of mozzarella blend. And let's just put more of that delicious whiskey barbecue sauce on the top. And then, you know, your other part of the Texas toast. So yeah, it is a dream and a heart attack all in one.
Texas toast with a lot of butter on it, too. And it certainly made it great. Now, briefly, I want to start with the Bulls and not just Zach LaVine's performance on Team USA, but they signed one of the picks they had stashed overseas. Tell us about who he is, what role he's going to play on the team, and what that means for the roster and maybe other transactions.
Yeah, 44th pick last year. Stretch big. Honestly, if anything, it can go a lot of different directions, because depending on how the Bulls want to structure their offseason could go a lot of different directions. So more likely than not, this means probably Daniel Tice is not coming back, because if you assume Thad Young is going to be back on the roster, which I think in more often than not is going to be the case, At that point, you have Patrick Williams, who should be getting some minutes at the four. You're going to have whatever your second round pick turns into this year is kind of whatever and probably not relevant for this upcoming season, especially now that you have Nikola Vucevic and you're trying to work him, win and get into the playoffs with him as well. That's most likely not the case. Maybe Daniel Theis could come back if there's a trade that the Bulls pull that involves Thaddeus Young. But we saw last year the Bulls are kind of at a log jam in the front court. So I wouldn't be surprised if, with all the suitors that Theis is supposed to have, especially you hear the Charlotte Hornets, and if you think about Theis's game, that makes a ton of sense for them. And considering the Bulls don't have the most space in the world, and if they want to make some sort of significant or relatively significant addition, I just don't think they're going to have enough space. So it's another guy to help fill out your rotation a little bit and maybe bring him in gradually and, you know, see if how much his game does translate to the NBA.
Okay, Marko Simonovic is that guy. And I'm disappointed that Theis isn't coming back, too, because I was starting to really like him.
Starting to. Dan is being subtle.
Yeah.
He was going to marry Daniel Theis. We all appreciated what he brought to the Bulls, though, that's for sure. We're also hearing from Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago, who had an interview with Zach LaVine, that he wants an extension with the Bulls and wants to figure out how to make that work. LaVine right now currently on Team USA. I'm a little concerned about their Olympic chances based on the showing I've seen so far. But when it comes to LaVine's long-term future, I think it's just a matter of when, not if, but how they make this work.
Yeah, it's interesting that he said he wants to get an extension done, because that means he's willing to take not the most amount of money he could possibly get this offseason. Because if LaVine wanted to max out as much as he could get, the Bulls could not give that to him right now, just by the rules of extensions, or if it's a renegotiate and extend type thing. The way he makes his most money, even if he fully intends to stay with the Bulls, is to take it to free agency and then sign a full five-year thing. So if he now, maybe that's just a conversation he still has to have with his agent, and his agent's like, let's cool it on the E word a little bit right now, and let's just play this out and see what ends up happening. But if that is a sign that he's willing to take a little bit less, and then, you know, depending on what else the Bulls can do with the space that would be available, maybe that's more of a viable thing. And it's Zach LaVine taking a step towards saying, hey, I know we're going to need some help around the filling out this rotation with a higher quality of player. I'm willing to take a little bit less to do that. Then cool. And that's great on Zach LaVine for being willing to do that. He doesn't have to. I wouldn't blame him if he didn't want to. But if he wants to do that, cool. And I'm sure if he's willing to do something like that, the Bulls will get this done real quick. That would not surprise me in the slightest, because I don't think you make the Vucevic trade if you're not committed to Zach LaVine. And then if you're not, and you end up, you know, doing something, if the Bulls get off to a slow start and then the front office is like, you know what, maybe this just isn't quite what we thought and other moves are made, then this just looks really bad, because it's a real tough thing that it's a real tough spot Karnišovas put himself in terms of, hey, we have an older big who is not that great, who's not very good defensively, and a wing who are on slightly different timelines, neither great at defense, so it makes it hard in terms of roster building and also in terms of timeline. So it's a really interesting offseason to see how they attack that.
Right, incredibly difficult, especially when you factor in Thad Young's salary, and he is the likelihood. So they don't have much room to work with at all.
Yeah, they really don't. So this is really going to be where Karnišovas and Mark Eversley can really flex a little bit. Maybe it sure seems like everybody is assuming there's going to be some sign and trade option with somebody for Lauri Markkanen. Obviously, that opens up a little bit more flexibility, whether it's to bring in someone like DeJounte Murray. That's been kind of the recent thing. Everybody's scouring his Instagram posts of, is he going to like anything that Zach LaVine posted today? You know, that's kind of the thing. So it really feels like the Bulls are back when we're really giving a crap about other teams' players' social media feeds. So hashtag the Bulls are back.
What does Bradley Beal's COVID diagnosis mean for LaVine's role on Team USA?
For now, it increases it. Now, when like Devin Booker gets over, when the guys that are in the finals get over, like Booker, like Middleton, it probably goes back to being a little bit smaller, which for Team USA is probably best, because I mean, Zach LaVine was getting targeted by Australia, man. I mean, what are we doing here?
And so Spain. It's
like, yeah.
Purposefully. Yes.
Yeah. Like, Zach LaVine says everything right about defense. And it's just, he doesn't get it. Like, not necessarily a huge thing against him. He puts in the effort. I don't think there's any doubt that he puts in effort. It's just the understanding isn't quite there. So Zach LaVine shouldn't have a huge role. He should probably be a off-the-bench, big-time scorer for Team USA, which, you know, now that other guys are leaving and you have the COVID issues as well, I mean, I don't know what to expect from Team USA, but I'm not a big Olympics guy. So U.S. could finish out of the medals, and it doesn't change my day at all.
Let's talk about the NBA Finals a little bit. We had a really enjoyable discussion with you in advance of them getting going last week. That was great. We enjoyed it very much. You talked about anticipating what kind of defense we were going to see out of the Milwaukee Bucks. Talked about the drop a lot. What were your impressions of what you saw different out of the Bucks in games 3 and 4 from games 1 and 2?
Yeah, a good amount of switching still, too, from Milwaukee. It all depends on who's in the game. When Brook Lopez is in the game, you're still best off doing some form of drop because he's really good at it. He's one of the best centers in drop in the entire league. So what's really been impressive is how Phoenix has Milwaukee has constricted what Phoenix does offensively in terms of their shot distribution. So Phoenix has not been a team all year that gets to the basket very much. They were dead last in the league, 27% of their shots at the rim in the regular season. In the playoffs, that's at 26.6. And then in game 4, which was, mind you, an extreme version, I don't expect this to hold through to game 5, 18% of their shots were at the rim. And only 29% of their shots were from three. 53% of their shots were from the mid-range. Now, I am far from someone that either says the mid-range is dead or that, you know, I'm not an extremist when it comes to mid-range jumpers. But when you're forced to take that many mid-range jumpers, that's where the math problem really comes in. And then when you add in the fact that Milwaukee on the offensive end has just been pounding Phoenix on the boards. Plus 12 in offensive rebounds and plus 12 in second chance points. I mean, they had 19 more field goal attempts than the Phoenix Suns, who had 17 turnovers.
Yeah, that's bad math.
In game 4.
It's hard to get on the other side of that math.
Exactly. So even though that's why I still feel pretty decent about picking Phoenix before the series and having Chris Paul as the MVP, because Phoenix isn't going to turn the ball over 17 more times. Like, that's just so out of what they normally do. I don't expect that to continue. But Milwaukee is so physical that Phoenix has to kind of figure out what they're doing to, you know, Giannis had a little bit more passive of a game, but then Chris Middleton has a big game. Do I expect Middleton to keep that going on the road? No. I do expect Phoenix to win game 5, but what Milwaukee has done defensively with having Drew Holiday on one of the two guards, whoever's in at the time, and prioritizing Chris Paul, and then what Giannis has been able to do and how they've been able to make their adjustments defensively and use their size to their advantage has been really impressive, and it's gotten them back in the series because their half-court offense sucks. It's a 93 offensive rating in the finals, which sucks for now. It sucks for, like, the 90s. It's just really bad offense.
The Chris Paul thing is interesting to watch because they made him look really old and really confused. And you heard him say it. It was not only was it bad decision making, it was just a bad handle. And when they start flashing guys at him from the weak side, you know, a little extra hand here, when they disrupt that little screen handoff that he uses to get the ball back, you notice he'll pass the ball to somebody and then say, wait a second, give me it back. And then he'll use the guy to screen. Like, when a guy gets a hand in there and he's not getting clean exchanges and nothing is easy for him and comfortable for him, it got to him.
Absolutely. That's part of the Drew Holiday effect, because part of the reason Eric Bledsoe, when he was in Milwaukee, was good for Milwaukee and why Drew Holiday is even better is because they're two of the more physical guards in the league that can get through screens. So what you mentioned with Chris Paul, sometimes he'll just use a dribble handoff as a way to change the angle of the screen for the big man.
Yes.
And that's how he creates his angles, and he's able to snake back to about the right elbow and get his jumpers in his spots. But Milwaukee's gotten better as the series has gone on, of even when Chris Paul gets that change of the angle on the screen and he gets to his spot, that's where they'll flash the guy who's guarding the man in the corner late. So that way it makes Chris Paul at least flinch when he's about to go up for his shot. And the other thing Milwaukee's done really, really well after game two, obviously game two is an extreme example of the Suns going 10 to 17 in the corners. Game four, they went 1 of 2.
Yes.
So it's insane how what they've been able to do. And when you think about some of the guys, the wings for Phoenix, they don't really create. They have a lot of guys that you think of like Luol Deng when he would try and dribble, where it's like, oh God, just get through one. Okay, maybe two dribbles. Like that's Mikal Bridges. That's Cam Johnson. That's Jay Crowder. You really want them just catching and shooting, and they're solid doing that. But when they have to, you know, attack a closeout, maybe one dribble into a mid-range shot or two dribbles to about the free throw line, that's about all they can do. And that adds to the fact of Phoenix just doesn't have anybody that really gets to the rim. Devin Booker does a little bit. Campaign probably does it in terms of the highest percentage of what he does getting to the rim, and Chris Paul can't really do it much at all anymore. So it's just Phoenix has to find the easy shots, whether they're open corner threes, whether they're finding ways in terms of their off-ball movement when in pick and roll to create some more space in the mid-range for Booker and Paul. There's things Monty Williams and this coaching staff have to do that I think they can do. And also just, you know, their guys playing a little bit better going home. The role players tend to play better at home. So I like Phoenix, but Milwaukee has definitely made this a series.
What did you think of Giannis's block on Ayton?
It was incredible. There was a super slow-mo version of it that makes it even more insane because you see how much earlier Ayton jumps. And it's a two-footed jump for Ayton versus a scrambling one-footed jump for Giannis. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, Giannis breaks physics. And it just does. It's cool. It's awesome to watch.
You know, there really are. We were thinking historically, like ever in the NBA, how many people physically could make that sort of recovery and be have a hand at that point? And that is a small list. Even if you're pretty generous about, you know, peak LeBron or Wilt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're already, we're saying, like, you know, even Dikembe Mutombo, who had the length, he didn't have the explosiveness and the athleticism and the quickness to go from there to there that way. I mean, that is a really small list. And the answer might be nobody.
Yeah, maybe, like, if you think last year in Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant, too, maybe you put him there. Because I remember in that series against Golden State, his rim protection was better than I've ever seen it from him. And he was so good defensively. He's still so good defensively, when he turns it on, because he can't do that all the time. And, you know, especially, God forbid, coming off the Achilles tear like he was. But Kevin Durant may be on that list as well. But it's incredible what he's able to do. And I like that with him playing better now, people aren't so focused on the negatives with him and just admiring what he does. He's not the perfect player by any stretch, but like when you see what Ben Simmons did versus what he does, he's not afraid to airball a free throw. He's not afraid to get a 10-second count on him, and he'll keep driving and keep going to the free throw line. And if he has games where he shoots 50% from the line and the team loses by three or something, okay. But more often than not, that's still going to end up being a positive for him, where Ben Simmons is too scared to, you know, even take the shot or get to the rim, which, you know, hey, if you start looking at some of these Damian Lillard rumors now, you can enjoy that. Portland, too, because Henry Abbott of True Hoop today reporting that Dame's going to ask out in the next couple days.
He's trending right now on Twitter. Lakers fans are all about that life.
They want
every player ever, though, so that doesn't count.
Lakers, there was a great meme of, it was like SpongeBob with some box. It looked like almost like a makeshift jewelry box, and it opens it up, and it's like the glowing, it's like Kyle Kuzma, Talen Horton Tucker, and a second round pick. It's like, get out of here. The Lakers and the Clippers are not getting Damian Lillard.
Where on planet Earth would the, like, do they have room, like, financially? Is that physically possible?
No, this is the Lakers fan thing of, oh, we have a birthright to get every star because Lakers. But like, also, that's pretty much what it is.
But also, am I trying to figure out how that would work on the Bulls secretly?
No, I know. But what are you offering? Because if you're trading Zach LaVine, like Zach LaVine would have to be in the. Also depends on what Portland wants. If Portland wants to say, hey, we're going to keep the rest of this together and try and win, then the deal has to include Zach LaVine. In which case,
would you do it?
Probably, because the thing with that, with Lillard, he signed through 2024. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have more teams involved. Smaller market teams that are good could get involved in this because it's not like it's a 1 or a 2 year thing. But the thing is, too, who has stuff? The Bulls don't have enough stuff because their picks are tied up because of the Vucevic deal. And then who would they trade? Like if you're Philly could offer like Ben Simmons, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, and picks. Whatever you want to do pick-wise, swaps, all the picks. The Bulls can't touch that. And then you could look at the Knicks. The Knicks could say, hey, here's RJ Barrett and the picks. The Warriors have 2 first-round picks this year, but it's like, do you want Andrew Wiggins? Probably not. And that would be an interesting fit, but just an accumulation of talent anyway. So there's going to be some other team that becomes part of it too. And it also depends on what role Lillard plays in it and maybe trying to push himself somewhere too, which that hasn't been his thing in his career. So I don't know how much he's going to be willing to do that, but we're going to have a star that's going to be available and there could be a deal as soon as draft night. And as selfishly as a person hosting the Bulls draft show on the station, that would be great because that gives me more content since the Bulls don't have a first round pick.
Thanks for the content you've provided, Campy. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Rick.
That is Rick Camp, and that leads us next up to Score Tales, Herpes Football. Next!
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Score Tales! Woo-hoo. Score stories, words used already. Score Tales! Woo-hoo. Parkins and Spiegel told us not to use it. Score Tales! Woo-hoo.
This is one I didn't know I was a part of, thankfully.
That's what they all say.
Well, a lot of these, that goes way back in time, and I can bring it back to Belmont Avenue. This does not. This score tale of herpes football brings us back to the years at NBC Tower. And I am going to toss the proverbial Nerf football over to Jay Zawoski, who is going to lead us through this tale, because I want to listen. I want to know the history. I really want to know, and I want to know what I narrowly avoided.
You may not have, but you never know. Get the antibody test for herpes football. So this is an off-the-air story. NBC Tower we had three studios, update studio, on air, and producer studio, 1, 2, 3 in a row. Then there was a hallway, and then outside of that hallway was cubicles that were not really being used. They were sort of communal cubicles.
Except by the best of the score crew doing pirate radio.
Exactly. It was their office, I guess.
That still sits with me.
Yep.
And the fact that we had the caller as well.
One of the best score tales ever, where we actually had one of the perpetrators of that call in.
And thankfully that person has a job in the business, because that is a golden voice. Yep.
Yes, he does. He does have a golden voice.
Yeah, thunderballs. That
yes.
That's a different
score. Which sounds like a side effect of herpes football. We're not going to get through this without me getting fired.
Okay, so I'm trying to paint a picture of the office. So the cubicles were on a raised platform, maybe a step up, and it was an island in the middle of a more common area. We had a golden tea machine. Mm-hmm. Next to that was a table where the food would go, where Ozzie Guillen Jr. would eat all your pizza. And then...
Wait, what?
Hey, can I have a slice of your pizza? Yeah, sure. And then the whole pizza's gone.
Ozzie Guillen Jr., if he's listening right now, would confirm it.
Yes,
he wouldn't even deny it. Junior would 100% confirm it.
Okay.
Yeah, and occasionally Aaron Rowand would do things, other things as well.
So there's the...
What? What is that?
I told about the...
Don't make the fist reference, whatever that was.
Okay. Right. This is, we can't get through this.
We're all fired.
All right. So there's the golden tea. Next to that is the folding table that food and other things go on. And then there's a Nerf football that just sort of makes the rounds throughout the office. And, you know, we're killing time between shows.
Purple, right?
I think it was purple and yellow. I think it was LSU colors, if I remember correctly. So, you know, before the shows, we tossing a ball around, like just talking, killing time, waiting for the shows to start. This is pre-transition.
I used to throw with Paul Agassi, who was at different times our general sales manager and for a while was our program director. And he was a quarterback. He's the son of Alex Agassi, the great Northwestern and Purdue coach and former NFLer. And throwing with him was fun because he could really fling it. And it would be, you know, you'd get in your time with the boss there just throwing the football around.
So... because of the design of the common area, we try to throw it over the cubicles and we try to do some trick shots every now and again. Inevitably, it would end up hitting the ceiling or rolling on the floor under tables, under desks, whatever. So after an especially busy week of tossing the football around, I noticed and some other producers noticed that we were getting a lot of like pimples around our mouth.
Oh, no.
Like cold sores. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why are we getting this? As I'm playing catch, I think it was with Andy Garcia, not the actor, the program director.
Sports director.
Yeah, so we're playing catch, and I notice he's got it too, and I'm holding the ball and looking at him and thinking about him, like, it's the football. The football has given us all herpes. Just because it's been rolling around the floor, who knows if it made it into the bathroom at some point? There's no way to know. But most of the
Nerf
time,
super spreader.
The ball lived on the floor under a desk or table. Because we'd put it on the table, inevitably the table would get used and someone just tossed the ball on the floor. So we had an outbreak of cold sores because of the herpes football. It was, I think in the moment, and this had to be probably 15 years ago, maybe more. I think I just had the ball in my hand, made the connection, just dropped it and walked away. Like, I'm never touching that again. Burn it. Get rid of it. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, did somebody kill it with fire? What happened after this?
Yeah, I think we just threw it out. Because we all sort of realized, oh, yeah, we all have this very similar outbreak of cold sores on our face.
Who else got it? Because I threw the football all the time, and I never got them.
I don't know. I don't want to.
Maybe you washed your hands after you touched the football.
Maybe. Unlikely. Most of my memories are playing catch with Andy, just because of the timing I was there. But... a lot of us play, like you said, you played catch with Agassi. The ball was just always making its way around the office. And those trick shots, you'd hit the ceiling and dust would just pop off the ceiling. A cloud of dust would fall when the ball hit it.
And do you remember that gray couch outside of Andy's office where random people would sleep?
What? I walked in and little Steven was there. Steven Van Zandt was there reading the paper. Like, what are you doing here?
And then he sat in with me for like 45 minutes.
I know.
He was so awesome.
It was so I walked in and there he is with like the head bandana.
Yes.
And he's like, how's it going? He's just reading the paper.
It was like a guy dressed for here. It was like for a Steven Van Zandt, you know, like it's look-alike contest. Like, oh, that's actually Steven Van Zandt.
I think that's how people imagine radio stations to be, where there's just celebrities walking around everywhere. They're always around. It
like
never
the ESPN
happens.
It
promos.
Was no, it was like that though, because of XRT, and occasionally, like, you know, all of a sudden, like, that's Johnny Marr of the Smiths. You're like, hey, how are you? Like, good. Nice to meet you, Johnny Marr of the Smiths.
Yeah, I once, back on Belmont, this is really early. I was working for Tommy Williams, and we had sent our intern, I guess this is another score tale. I had sent our intern out for dinner. That was just, we all did it. Everyone who's ever produced ran out for dinner, because Belmont, there was nothing there.
Sammy's.
It was in the middle of a neighborhood. You had to go get it, though.
Yeah, but Sammy's.
Someone had to leave and go get it. So, a few minutes go by. Throughout the day, we'd been talking about the Smashing Pumpkins, just in passing. In the studio. So doorbell rings. I answer it. Hey, it's Billy Corgan. I'm here. Like, yeah, whatever. You'll wait. I thought it was the intern. So 3-4 minutes go by. Phone rings again. It's Billy Corgan. Can someone let me in? I'm like, I'll get you when I'm ready. Go back there. It was actually Billy Corgan.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I thought you were an intern. And he's like, I said it was Billy Corgan. I'm like, yeah, but we were talking and right. Food and yeah. It was awful.
My favorite thing about that gray couch was someone was asleep on it in the middle of the day and had their face like tucked into the cushion, so all you could see was the person's back and their legs, okay? And we had this impassioned argument as to whether or not it was Spiegel or Terry Hemmert. And we're standing like, is that Spiegel? No, I think that's Terry Hemmert. No, that's definitely Spiegel. No, it's definitely, so we were sitting there and we were devolving into, can people come over and say, come here and say, who do you think this is?
And the person stayed asleep the whole time?
Yes.
It had to be Spiegs.
It was Terry Hemmert.
Oh, my God.
And then there was the day I walked into my office and Cy Strezzo was asleep on the floor.
On the floor?
On the floor. And apparently he did it every day and no one knew. Like, he would stay there. Like, he had no place to go or something. And we went in there. It's like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I sleep here. Like, what?
Taking a break between Madden games. He used to bring his PS2 to play while he produced overnight.
Yeah, he lived at the station.
When you guys talk about weird score, this is the stuff you mean, eh?
Oh, like old weird things?
It is so much more corporate now than it was. I mean, I started on Belmont. And even then, it was starting to turn a little corporate, but it's basically a frat house. It's so much more normal now. But back then, even at NBC Tower, crazy stuff happened all the time.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense, because NBC Tower isn't exactly the easiest place to get in and out of.
No, it's not. But riding the elevator with Jenny Jones and who was Jerry Springer's big bald security guy.
Steve Wilkos.
He was always in the elevator
with
us.
His sister was the surgical nurse for my knee reconstruction.
A lot of my friends knew him from work.
Yeah.
He's like a nice guy.
He stopped by all the time just to, like, he wanted to talk sports.
Steve is awesome. I met him a couple years ago. That would be the greatest part about working at NBC Tower, especially like the 90s and the early 2000s, is seeing all the talk shows that we grew up trying to watch if we were out of school or something.
I saw Stedman Graham there once, Oprah's boyfriend.
Stedman! Oh my goodness.
Handsome man.
Yep.
Woof. He was striking. Like, he just had a look of someone who was important.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Like, wow, that's somebody. That has to be somebody.
That guy has to be important.
And he was.
Oprah's
Did you guys
boyfriend.
Ever go to the Jerry Springer show?
No.
It was appointment television in college as I aged myself on the radio.
I worked with Mark Sweeney in San Diego, the baseball player. And he said that was the goal, if you had an off day when he was in the league, was to go to see if you can get to the crowd on the Jerry Springer show.
And by the way, we got a note from a former Score intern here who just emailed to say, I am so happy I told myself interns probably shouldn't throw that football around.
No way.
Yep.
Smart intern.
Smart intern. Yes.
Probably not working here then.
No longer working here because smart. Yes. That has been Score Tales Herpes Football. The Midday Midway is next, and I've got bad news coming because a bad moon is rising.
It's actually fairly disturbing. I have a happier tale of geese who are gulls. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
We started out talking baseball and trying to figure out if this guy the Cubs got back for Jock Peterson is anything. The answer, probably not. And you hope that maybe there's a power stick in there that plays to the universal DH and gives him a chance, but it's more likely just a salary dump that is the first of many things. It was the fact that that deal got made before the resumption of the second half that was a reminder to everybody within and without that big changes are coming for the Cubs. Rick Camp talked basketball with us, and we brought you the score tale of the herpes football.
A sordid affair. So I will bring you one of happiness, and it's pretty great. The quote is, "We heard a faint tapping. A local goose found its injured mate at a wildlife hospital and waited outside the door for it to heal." This is in New England, Barnstable, Massachusetts. An unexpected visitor at a Massachusetts wildlife hospital gave the phrase "through sickness and health" a whole new meaning. The story begins with a Canada goose named Arnold. Arnold and his mate, according to the Cape Wildlife Center in Barnstable, have lived on a pond near the facility for several years. Well, one day they noticed that Arnold was limping around and he didn't seem to be doing too well. He kept falling over. So they were able to somehow isolate Arnold and found out that his foot had been maimed, they think by a snapping turtle. So,
yikes.
As they prepared to sedate Arnold later and get him ready for surgery, they heard a faint tapping at the door. And they turned to see that his mate had waddled onto the porch and was attempting to break into the clinic. She had somehow located him and was agitated that she couldn't get inside. So she remained there through the entire procedure, watching through the plate glass door and never moving, making sure he was okay.
And was he okay?
He was healing. The surgery went well. They expect the foot to heal with continued treatment in time. Once Arnold woke from anesthesia and the wound was closed and bandaged, they made sure that he could recover by the doorway so they could see each other. It's the cutest story. And then by that time, once they saw him, his mate immediately calmed down and began to groom him through the door. I don't know how that works, but I think she was trying. So they both much seemed more at ease in each other's presence. Arnold will likely need several weeks of treatment in our hospital before he is ready to rejoin his mate in the wild, according to the hospital. He will need to be kept inside for the majority of his time in order to keep his wound sterile and to prevent infection, but they will do their best to get him out quickly, and they will keep the doorway open, at least visible, and not have the main one shut, so that way whenever his mate stops by to see how he's doing, she can get it.
What's her name? Why does he have a name and she doesn't?
Well, probably because they haven't touched her and met her yet, you know?
If he's Arnold, I mean, I don't think that's right. If it's like Arnold,
Mrs.
and
Arnold?
Arnold's mate, I mean, it should be...
Well, they, I mean, have they talked to her? Do they know?
I don't know. But the moral of the story, don't mess with snapping turtles because you just stay away from them. If you can't be around someone who knows how to catch them and prepare them into one of the great delicacies you've ever had in your life, just stay away from them.
Snapping turtle.
Oh, real turtle stew and turtle soup is just so fabulous.
I'm just still trying to figure out how the goose knew that the other one was at the animal hospital.
I don't know. It's really hard. If you're going to anthropomorphize these geese somehow, I hate Canada geese.
I know.
And if you're going to try to make me like geese, that's a big deal.
I don't necessarily hate them. They just symbolize certain things for me, like the return of spring. They protect their turf. They're like in the Under Armour commercial. They protect their house. They think everybody's after their eggs.
And they ruin golf courses.
So I'm not surprised that the lady goose found her mate and made sure he was okay. That's really sweet. That's all.
Every coast in the U.S. is facing rapidly increasing high tide floods. NASA says this is due to a wobble in the moon's orbit, working in tandem with climate change-fueled rising sea levels. The new study from NASA and the University of Hawaii, published recently in the journal Nature Climate Change, warns that upcoming changes in the moon's orbit could lead to record flooding on Earth in the next decade.
Great.
Through mapping the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's sea level rise scenarios, flooding thresholds and astronomical cycles, researchers found flooding in American coastal cities could be several multiples worse in the 2030s, when the next moon wobble is expected to begin. They expect the flooding to significantly damage infrastructure and displace communities.
It's not good. Don't buy any oceanfront property anytime soon.
Exactly. So if you're looking for investment properties, stay inland, because those are going to end up being coastal enough soon enough. And it's not just climate change. Now it's the moon wobbling. And we did nothing to cause the moon to wobble. If you're saying that there's something that the humans are at fault, it happens every once in a while. It happened in like the late 1700s or something like that. And there was also flooding everywhere. So there's record of this. They know about some of this stuff. So it's not it just so happens that it's happened.
Yes. From what I understand, it just has to do with the pattern of the orbit and whatnot. But I have been reading this story over the last couple weeks, and it has not made me confident in buying property ever. Like, that's a huge concern.
Now,
are you reading more about it?
No, I'm just reading now. Everybody's telling their stories of run-ins with snapping turtles.
And geese. Phyllis 630.
Is that Arnold and Phyllis? Might work.
Oh, Helga. 815 says Helga because of Hey Arnold. That's great. I really enjoy that. It's a cartoon on Nickelodeon. It's before Jason's time and after your time.
Okay, that's one I would just miss.
I forget which one called him football head. It's 773 said, I keep thinking you said Herbie's football.
Instead of herpes football, there was somehow we're dragging Herb into it.
So when Zawoski started talking about cold sores, I could only think, don't do Herb like this. No, not Herb. And the Twitchers want to know if the text line is still in the fight with him. No. The texters don't hold grudges for very long, only purposefully. Twitch is a little more focused when it comes to that sort of thing. So I think the battle royale has subsided for now.
Yeah, I want to think that it goes on, though, because if you try to picture the typical Twitch contributor and then picture the typical text contributor, it would be a great showdown between the avatars for those two.
The battle sort of the subcultures,
the representatives, yeah, sort of creepy and you know, but the. Like the texters that are still, like the unblocked texters, the ones like, because we've...
You've blocked a lot of people.
I've blocked a lot of Nazis and a lot of anti-vaxxers and a lot of the real scum of the earth I have blocked. But the people who are still out there, it's a curated text feed now, because life is better when you don't have Nazis screaming at you all day. I've just sort of recognized that. But again, there's new Nazis that come out every day.
Somebody's always going to have a problem with something, and then they wanted us to like atone for.
No, I'm talking years. Actual Nazis. I'm not talking like weird sports thoughts. Like the real ones that now are proud of it and don't have to hide it and celebrate.
Yeah, those people deserve to be blocked and then some. That doesn't really happen on Twitch.
No, I don't even know how to work the whole Twitch thing. So that's up to Gertch and O'Donnell to do that stuff. We are going to talk about a pretty serious story with a serious reporter. The Blackhawks are trying to legal weasel their way out of responsibility for allowing a molester to have another job where he can prey on others. That's what happened. They may bear no legal responsibility, but then again, they may. And it appears to be sort of an open secret that the Blackhawks were harboring this guy. Rick Westhead, a writer from TSN in Canada, is going to join us and give us the latest next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!